The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. Tisku L'mitzvot. Today's daf is being studied in honor of Roger and Raquel Baghdadi, our dear friends from Aventura, Florida. Hashem Alehem Yehyu. Amen. Daf Chavtet. Today's daf is being studied. La'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. La'ilu Nishmat Mazal Bat Frida Sheneftaret V'Kitzur Yamim V'Shanim Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fu'ah Shirem מורנו ורבנו וגאון עוזנו חכם עובדיה יוסף בן גורג'יה אין נרפנה לו אין נרפנה לו אין נרפנה לו בתוך שער חולי עמו ישראל. אמן. We begin today's daf on daf chafchet עמוד בית, starting at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah begins כל שבעת הימים אדם עושה סוכתו קבע ובתו ארעי. All the 7 days of Sukkot, a person makes his sukkah permanent. Ubeto arai, and his house becomes temporary. As she says, sukkato keva liyot kol ikar dirato ba, which is all his primary dwelling is in the sukkah. Yardu geshamim, however, if it rains, me'e matay mutar lefanot, when is he allowed to go out of the sukkah, clear out of the sukkah? So the Mishnah is Mishitisrach HaMikpah, which means when the mikpah, which would be, let's say, the dish, the porridge, becomes spoiled. And as she says, Mishitikalkela HaMikpah, kol tavshil, any dish, kafui, lo rach velo ab, not a thin or a loose dish or a thick dish, like it's mediocre, karui mikpah, like we said, like a porridge. So what's the shi'ud? Amount of time that the rain will come in and ruin it. There's all mahlokah. Do you actually have to have a porridge on the table and it actually has to become ruined? Or do you say, no, it's ra'ui, meaning had you had a mikvah on the table and enough rain would come in, it would spoil it. In any event, the Mishnah continues, Hakamim gave a parable, analogy to what this is comparable to, when it rains on the Sukkot. The Eved Sheva Limzog cost the Rabbo. To an Eved that came to pour or dilute a cup of wine for his master. Veshafak lo kiton al panav. And he threw the kiton on his face. Now, the Gemara will analyze exactly who threw the kiton on who. Was it the king that threw it on the Eved, or was it the Eved that throws it on the king? The Gemara will analyze, and we'll wait for the Gemara to get the full mashal. But let's get Rashi. Meshtol le'ayavit kolamar. Geshamim ayordim behag siman kelalahim. That's a siman kelam mashal le'ayavit shafak lo kiton shavar apar. The Gemara mefaresh mi shafak lemi. And the Gemara is going to explain who poured on who. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. All the 7 days of Sukkot, a person must make his sukkah, his permanent residence, and his house becomes the temporary residence. So the Gemara says, how do you do that? A person has, let's say, his fine dishes, his fine vessels. You bring the good dishes into the sukkah. Masa'ot na'ot, he has nice, let's say, cushions and couches, etc. Ma'ala la sukkah, you put them in the sukkah as well. Ochel v'shoteh, obviously you eat and you drink. U'metayel basukkah. Metayel, let me just stroll.
which means not only you're resting, but the person, let's say, wants to take a little walk, and even a little walk, even just let's say after the meal, he should walk in the sukkah itself, mamash like a tiyul. Well, for that matter, I mean just rest to relax in the sukkah itself. So the Gemara continues and says, how do you know that all these things? Imagine the dwelling has to be in the sukkah, not only eating and drinking and sleeping, but the actual whatever you do.
Teshvu,
when the pasuk says teshvu basukot, Gemara doresh ke'en taduru. Which means the teshvu has to be like you're sitting in your house, like your dwelling house. Whatever you do in your house, you do in the sukkah.
Mikan amru, koshevat yemim ose adam sukkato keva. Ubeto arai kesad, hayulo kelim naim ma'alan suka, masaot naot ma'alan suka, oche veshote tayel basuka, shanan basuka,
and you also learn in the suka.
Does she? Sover talmudo hatecho al burio, la'amod,
what's that, alif?
La'amod alav. Which means, mishtanin, you cut your learning. Which means the guy goes and learns and you try to get the sivara of it, and you try to get the logic of it, right? That is shimata de amura'e. Right? That's the halakhot of the amura'im. Ve'sivara shel ta'amim mishnah. So we call shinun is when the amura'im are trying to figure out the rationale, the logic of the mishnah. We call that shinun. Mata'am ze hayav, ze patu, ze asuv, ze mutar. The learning, we would call that today, for example, Gemara. So a guy goes and studies the reasons of the mishnah, that says you do that in the sukkah as well. But I ask, Sini, we have a contradiction. Vama rava mikra ummatna b'metallalta v'tenuye bar b'metallalta. So we have the statement of Rabbah. It says like this, Hashi, mikre ummatne. Likrot shebichtav, mikre is the Torah shebichtav, meaning the Chumash. V'leshanot mishnayot arukot v'shikrot mefir, which means the mishnah that he knows by heart. So that's called matne, meaning the matnitin that he studies in the sukkah. B'metallalta v'sukkah. V'tenuye Talmud. Deu sevara. That's the logic. Litroa v'leshanin. Dechen shma'ata de amuraim, the halakhot of the amuraim, she'en about ila mechlad diktuke, which is that they're not simple statements. You have to learn them with all the depth. She'en limidim metok devre mishnah, demidamu miltal mintam, meaning you're learning the statements of the Tanaim, and you're comparing one halakha to another halakha. Why is the deen in this case chayav? Why is the deen case in that case patur? What's the difference between the cases? All that is called over here, tenuye. Now it's saying over there that what the tenuye you learn outside the sukkah. Mm-hmm. What we mean, the first bright that we said that tenuye you learn inside the sukkah. Mm-hmm. Just make up your mind. Well, do you learn it in the sukkah? You learn it outside the sukkah. Rashi ban memetallalta imiritze. If he wants, why? What's the logic? Why this learning of the Gemara? Understand the sevarot. Why could you learn outside the sukkah? So that she has a very important sevarah. The mitzta'iru. Because he's mitzta'ir. Why is he mitzta'ir? Or mitzta'ir b'sukkah v'avir yafelo l'archiv da'ato v'kasakad atak tenuye hanu mishanem, which means not the fresh air outside, the air inside, which means outside it's hot and it's muggy and things like that. You have to remember where they were. They're going to be in Bavel or in Israel, and therefore they can't concentrate. They need to be inside where they have a clarity. So therefore, what's the law? If a person is mitzta'ir, but sitting in the sukkah now is mistayed. Mistayed is patur. So that she's learning the reason why learning you don't do in the sukkah is because of mistayed. You're not going to be able to focus. Now make up your mind. You just told me in the first braita that shenuye, learning Gemara, you do it in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, la kashya, abe migras, abe ayune, it depends. If you're just learning migras, which means you're reading up, you're not going deep, then you can do it in the sukkah, because you don't need so much concentration. Mm-hmm. However, le'ayune, when you're going deep, and you're analyzing it in depth, then already need more concentration, then already do it inside the house. Because that's the way that she learns. Hala migras. There's two types of learning. Lemigras Gemara Birura lo kvar, which means even the Gemara that he learned already. So he's just reviewing. Make it hazara, no problem. But you're learning it for the first time and you're going in depth, then already you have to do it. You can. I shouldn't say you have to. You can do it outside the sukkah. Of course, if the guy can do it in the sukkah, matova manayim, which is he has a ptur if he wants to do it outside the sukkah. So the Gemara says, ki ha. Like the story of Rava, the Rami, Bar Hamma. These two rabbis, Kiavu, Kaimi Mikamed Rav Chisda, when they used to study in front of Rav Chisda, Marhite Begemara Bade Adade, first they would review the Gemara together that they learned from Rav Chisda. They would review it, but then they would go quickly, Vadar Ma'ayene Bismara. Then they would go back and learn it over again, and try to get the Sevarot, to ask questions and things like that. So you see these two types of learning. That's what the Gemara is just trying to prove. That there's the Hazara, and then you go into it deeper in order to understand it better. So that she says, that there is a way of learning without so much Tirha and so much application. And there's Ayun, which is more Tirha. So that she's Shita is again, Ayun Yipatur from Sukkah, and learning Chazara, or turning quickly review, is done in the Sukkah itself. Okay? Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rava, Rava said, Mane Mishtiya b'mtallilta. Mane Mishtiya has glasses, drinking glasses. You're allowed to keep them in the Sukkah. Actually, before we go further, let's just finish the Rashi's here. When these rabbis were in front of Rav Chisda, after he taught them the lesson, they just reviewed all the laws. Then they went into the Sevarot. And if there was any questions, they would ask. Drinking glass, but we're going to learn now that you cannot have things in the sukkah that are ma'us. Why? Because in one's house also you don't keep things in the dwelling area that are ma'us. Right? Now glasses, a drinking glass, even after you finish drinking from it, it's not ma'us, it's not disgusting. You leave it on the table, you leave it in the dwelling area, it's not a not a problem. Therefore glasses, even after you drink from them, the Gemara says it's like living in your house, you can leave them in the sukkah. Manim michla bar mtalta. However, plates that you ate from, after you finish eating, you got to get out of the sukkah. That's shitat Rashi. Why? Because even in your house, after you finish, if you don't leave it on the table, it becomes disgusting. Therefore, you put it in the kitchen, outside of the dwelling area. So therefore, the same thing in the sukkah, once you finish eating from the plates, Amelia is supposed to take them out. Let's read Rashi for a second. Manim mechlia ke'arot, le'achar she'achnu bahim, after you ate from them, sarik lo tzian, le'bar m'talilta chot sukkah, because it's inyan of ma'us, and it's not the normal way in the house. Tosfot has a different interpretation. Tosfot's learning, it's the kelim that you cooked in. Which means you don't bring the kelim, the pots that you cooked in, you don't bring it on the table.
Right.
You leave them in the kitchen. It's the same thing. You don't bring the pots. That means menim mechla. But the according to Tosfot, the dishes themselves that you eat from, it's not a problem. So it's machloket Rashiv and Tosfot, how to learn menim mechla. Is it the dishes that you ate from, or is it the pots that you cooked from? Hasba, that she says, kad shel chayrish shavim b'mayim. In the olden days, they used to bring, let's say, a wooden pitcher on the table. That was actually the pitcher that they drew the water from the well. So it says, Hasba v'shahil, that she says, that's also a pitcher of wood. Okay, the first one is chayrish. The first one is pottery. And the second one is wood. Bar b'mtalalta, outside the sukkah. Because it's not the normal derech. Now the Mefashim learned, what do you mean? We learned above in the Mishnah, if you remember when the Yohanan was in the sukkah, they brought for him into the sukkah dli shel mayim. And he said, bring it up to the sukkah. So you see over here, dli shel mayim, you can't have it in the sukkah. So I have to explain that she means that you could keep it in the sukkah so long as you're using it. But once you finish using it, you got to get rid of it. So bar mitalilta, meaning right after you, like the plates, right after you finish using it, you should get it outside the sukkah because it's really not kavod for the sukkah. Bisharga, sharga would be, let's say, that she holds ner shel cheres. Okay, let's say a candle or a lamp made out of cheres, or in a cheres receptacle, in a receptacle of a clay pottery. B'mtalilta, you can bring that into the sukkah. Ve'amri la bar b'mtalilta, and some say no, you got to keep it outside the sukkah. Ve'la peligi ha'b'sukkah gedola ha'b'sukkah ketana. It's no machloket. What's the issue over here? The issue over here, the way they're learning Rashi, that's the way Tosfot learns as well, is. And Yan over here of you worry about a fire. That the in a small sukkah by 7x7, which is so small, you're worried you're going to put a fire like that in the sukkah, it's going to catch, and the thing's going to go on fire. In a big sukkah, however, you're not worried, that therefore you can put a flame. The Bet Yosef understands that when she says, Ner Shel Cheres, it's Lav Davka. That's what they used to put there, Ner Cheres. But who adin if you put it in Zahav? The issue is not the Cheres over here. The issue is the fact that it's a small sukkah and it's going to be in flames. Others want to learn to know it. As she says, Cheres is Dafka Cheres, and Yan is, could be it's a Ma'us when it's in the Cheres, but then it's hard to understand the Gemara's
Answer. The Gemara is saying, could be in a small sukkah, it's more noticeable and it's a more discernible, etc. But in a big sukkah, it's less noticeable. But anyway, that's the two ways of learning. According to, again, the Bet Yosef, the understanding is, like Tosfot learned, this issue of fire. Therefore, in a big sukkah, you're not worried about a fire. In a small sukkah, you are. Comes the Gemara and continues. Yadu Geshem, if it rains. What type of food are we talking about? Gerisin. What is gerisin? Gerisin is the beans, right? That's the type of food that we're talking about. It's not a necessarily thick food. It's not necessarily a loose food. It's a gerisin. That's the item that we're talking about. Rashi says, "Memaheret lekalkel begeshamim me'at." And she's giving us a big hadush over here. This type of dish gets spoiled quicker than a regular dish. Which is that she's giving you a kula here. Yeah, okay. He's giving you a leniency. Mm-hmm. He's telling you don't have to wait for another type of dish that might be needing a lot of rain. Now even this item where a few drops of rain ruins it, that's already enough to go outside the sukkah. Abaye, Abakayatif Kamed, Rav Yosef, Mtalilta. Abaye was sitting in front of Yosef in the sukkah. Nashab Zika, the wind started to blow. The Kamaite Sivuta. And some of the kismin shel schach that she says, the little splinters of the schach started to fall off onto the table, mashir al machal onto the food. So Amar Lud of Yosef, panuli mane mehacha. That's it. Take out the keli. Let's go in the house. Amar le abaye v'atiram shetusach mikva. We talk about this is not the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can't leave till the food becomes spoiled over here. A couple of splinters are falling in. This is particular. He's aninut, which means he's istenis, and therefore to him all these things bother him. Even the little these woods falling from the skak, to me that's like the sacham mikpah, and therefore for me it's considered mitzayin, and therefore I'm going inside. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yosef aninut da'ataba. We know Rabbi Yosef. We know the Masechet Pesachim. He was from the Anine Da'at. The Tanya Perek Rabbi Yosef Shelosha Chayehin Enam Chayim. There's three people that their life is not a life. Harachmanim, Ve'arat Hanim, Ve'Anine Da'at. Shenam Yechudim Nisbol Shum Davar Mius. They cannot tolerate anything that's a little disgusting. V'amar of Yosef Kulehu Itnehu Bi. All three things are in me. So you see over here what? And even though it goes according to subjective over here, which is according to Rabbi Yosef, since to him this was uncomfortable, this, he was mistired on such an item. I mean, another guy could be, it's not, could be another bugs. Guy. Exactly. But bugs would go into sukkah or other elements, smell, etc. We can go out of sukkah as well. So, Mishnah Tzlach HaKapah is only an issue by rain, but by other yanim, it's all according to what the guy is, gets upset. Okay, well, Mitzlach comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Haya ochel basukkah. Guy's eating the sukkah. Ve'yardu geshamim. And what happened? It started to rain. Okay? Ve'yardu geshamim. Ve'yarad. So you got out of sukkah. You have to remember always ve'yarad because the sukkot were on the roofs. So they used to come down from the roof and go into the house. En matrichin oto la'alot ad shigmo sa'udato. They don't make him now stop in the middle of his meal in his house to go back into the sukkah. Once you left the sukkah, how come he went up matriyah you? Because that's already a tzad. Yeah. Once you left right now in the middle of the meal, stop raining. I go back into the sukkah. That's already too much of a tircha. Once you leave the sukkah to cap the rain, you can finish the meal in the house, and then when it stops raining, then you can go back out. Look at Rashi. V'yarad min ha-sukkah l'gmor sa'udato bebayit. U'kshiyashav lo, when he sat, pasku geshamim. But it's only because he sat. But let's say he walked out of the sukkah, the way into the house, it stopped. He didn't sit yet, according to Rashi. Go back in the sukkah. The tircha is once you sat, then already it's a burden to make the guy go back up. Okay? Uh-huh. Next case. Haya yashen tahat ha-sukkah. Guy sleeping in the sukkah. V'yardu gishamim. It starts to rain in the middle of his sleeping. V'yarad, and leaves the sukkah. En matrichin oto la'alot ad shi'aor. We don't make him go back into the sukkah ad shi'aor, which literally means until it becomes light. So the Gemara is going to analyze what this means. Ibayalu ad shi'aor or ad shi'aor. What's the difference over here?
Big difference.
Either ad shi'aor, as she says, ad shi'ale amud ashahar, that is until dawn, that's or. Or until he wakes up. Ha imikitz afilu ayah b'chatzia laila yakum mishnato v'yalev yashem sukkah. Which means if you're learning Ad Shia Or, it's a leniency. Which means they're telling the guy, listen, once you left the sukkah because of rain, you have until the morning. Till Al Shahar, of course, it stopped. Al Shahar, you got to go back to the sukkah. Or you say, no, Ad Shia Ur. Meaning, Shia Ur Mishnah totally wakes up. He goes into the house at 11 o'clock at night because it was raining. He wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He woke up, guy wakes up in the middle of the night. He looks out, thought it stopped raining. Go back outside. So it's Ad Shia Ur with an aleph. That means dawn, or Ad Shia'ur until he wakes up. So Gemara says, Tashema, Ad Shia'ur v'ya'ale amud ha-shachar. So the Gemara says two things. Ad Shia'ur, until dawn, Ad Shia'ur v'ya'ale amud ha-shachar. Now obviously, Ya'ur and amud ha-shachar is two different times. Sure. Ya'ur is going to be more like sunrise, and Alot ha-shachar is going to be before. Mm. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's the way you're answering, which means you're answering, it's two things. It's Ya'ud and Ya'ud. Ya'ud means sunrise, and Ya'ud means dawn. Well, make up your mind. Gibra says, Tarte? How can it be both? It's two different times. Make up your mind. Is it Shia'ud or Achiale Amud Ashahar? Ela Ema Achiale Amud Achiye'ud, the Ali Amud Ashahar. You need two things. Until the guy wakes up, and it's got to be also after Alot HaShachar, mm-hmm. Which means if the guy only has one item, for example, he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, go back to sleep, you don't got to go back to the sukkah. Yeah. Or let's say he's sleeping through Alot HaShachar, you don't got to wake him up. Mm-hmm. But he wakes up at 7 o'clock in the morning, he's got to go back down to the sukkah. So to go back to the sukkah for rain, you got to have two things. He's got to wake up after Alot HaShachar, then already goes back. Anything less, he does not go back. Rashi. Let's just read the Rashi. He's here. Ad shi ye'ur, ad shi lamud ha-shahar, or ad shi ye'ur, mishinato. Ha'im ikitz, afidu ya ba'asi alayhi kumishato v'yalev yashem sukkah. Tashema, ad shi ye'ur v'yale mud ha-shahar. Ba'korhak, ad shi ye'ur, hu detanya ba, tim doken, mai v'yale mud ha-shahar. Tarte, bitmiha. Shtei devarim elu em sotim ze'etze. Shi ye'ur ma'ashto shi lo mizlah. Ye'ur means already when the sun came up. V'yale mud ha-shahar ma'ashma kodem lachin. So you can't say yi'ur and yi'ur simultaneously. Ela akorhak shi yi'ur ketari. The statement was with an ayin. Vaki kamar ad shi yi'ur, meaning mishi'ale amud hashahar la'apukei mekits mishinato balayla. As opposed to if you got up in the middle of the night, ve'en matrin v'ma'ala hashahar ve'lo ni'ur. But you don't wake him up if you got up after. So therefore, it's two items. Comes the Gemara and says, "Mashal ma davar dome." So we gave him mashal. Ibaya lehu. What was the mashal in the Gemara Mishnah? Of an eved that's diluting some wine for his master, and then he pours it in his face. So the Gemara says, "Who poured on who?" Tashema. Sorry, ibaya lehu. Mi shafach lemi. Who poured on who? Now, what's the question? Who poured on who? Seemingly, the only logical understanding would be is the master threw on the Eved, which means it's as if when God makes it rain on Sukkot, that's after the guy built the Sukkah, right? So that's the service. The building of the Sukkah is like pouring the wine. And then the Melech pours the wine in his face as if to say, I'm not interested in your service. That's why God brings the rain, and he tells him, I'm not interested in your building of the sukkah. That's the simple, but what does it mean the other way? Thank you. The other side of the coin is what? That the Eved prepares the sukkah for the master, and then he takes the wine, and he pours it in the master. What would that be a mashal to? So I get Rashi. Mi shavak lemi. Eved derabo. Ve'aki kamar. Mashal le'eved. Shaya osin rabo avdut. He's serving his master, however, she'eno ovdo kehogen. But he's not serving his master the right way. Kach biyadua she'en Yisrael ovdim keshura. The same thing when the Jewish people, and it rains on Sukkot, that's an indication that the Jewish people are not doing the Sukkah the right way. That they're not fulfilling the mitzvot the right way. And therefore, it's as God is only punishing them because they themselves are not doing it the right way. They're doing service the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So as if they're pouring the wine in the king. When you pour the wine in the king, is that the way you're supposed to serve the king?
No,
of course not. So therefore, is it the claim on us that we're not serving Borei Olam the right way? Meaning, could we, we're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Sukkah the right way, we're not building them the proper way, and therefore when we throw the wine, we're throwing it in Borei Olam, and therefore God says, oh, you're not doing it the right way, so I'm kicking you out of Sukkah. Or dil ma'aki kamar, v'shafach lo rabo ki torah parav lomar, tse melefanai, ti efsi v'shimushcha, v'iridat kishtemi mishtifikat kiton, u'mikom kol siman kelalau,
It's a siman kelah either way.
Which means the pouring of the wine. So what is she saying? Is it the sitting in the sukkah or is it the rain? Meaning, the pouring of the wine is a bad service. It's bad service when you pour the wine. That means that's the building of the sukkah, the sitting of the sukkah. If we don't build the sukkah the right way, so that's already like pouring the wine in God in the middle of space.
Him the wrong way.
Or do you say, no, the pouring of the wine is the rain, where God is telling us, get out. Meaning taking the rain and kicking us out. That's the two sides of the question. So the Gemara answers this very clearly. Gemara says, Tashema, Detanya, Shafach lo Rabbo Kiton al panav. It's the master that's pouring the Kiton on the servant's face. On the servant's face, Va'amar lo Efshi b'shimushcha, which is the servant is doing good. He's serving the right way, right. But for whatever reason, the king is not happy with his service, and therefore he throws it in his face. Okay. Now, the Gaon Mevilna has a novel interpretation to this Gemara. He says like this. We know that the Yemei Hadin, which is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, those are the days of judgment. Right following Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, which is days of judgment, which is days of Yir'ah, the days of fear, Yemim Noraim, that's followed by Yemei Rahamim. The days of Rahamim are the days of Sukkot. Borei Olam gives us Sukkot specifically after Yemei Hadin in order to sweeten the judgment. And that's what we, specifically, you ask yourself a question, why is it packed so many holidays in one month? Why couldn't they split it up? Right after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's all part of one process. And therefore Sukkot is really the Mituk Hadin. That's a chance for us to get the Hamim. Wow. So, when we sit in the Sukkah, like the Rambam writes, that Galut is Mechaperet Avon. When a person goes into exile, exile has the ability to atone for sin. So the Midrash writes that when God comes and tells us to go sit in the Sukkah, that's like he's telling us, exile yourself from your houses into the Sukkah, and that'll serve as a kapara. I mean, you don't have to be exiled to a foreign country. Even the fact that you're going from your house to your backyard, that's already considered God, which is God's trying to get us off the hook. He's trying to give us zikhuyot in order to have a zikhut. So it's the midat rahamim that is preceded by midat hadin. However, if Borei Olam doesn't give us the chance to sit in the Sukkah, so therefore it's only midat hadin. He's not sweetening it. He's not sweetening the judgment. So the Gaon says like this. We're talking about over here in Eved, Sheba Limzoglo, which means he's not pouring the wine. The wine is in the cup already. What is Miziga? Miziga is you add the water into the cup. Right. Now according to the Zohar, Yayin, red wine, is Midat Adin. Like the blood, it's Midat Adin. Water is Midat Rahamim. So therefore, what is the Eved trying to do? The Eved is trying to He's trying to pour some water into the wine in order to make it, mazug. And what does the Melech do? He takes the wine and he pours it in, which means he's saying, I don't want your Miziga. I don't want you to be Tukadrim. I want it to be Midat Adin. And that's exactly what it rains on Sukkot. Borei Olam is not giving us a chance to have Mitukadrim. It remains strict justice. Right. So therefore there's deep interpretations of it. Why it's a Siman Kelala? Because we're losing out from this ability to have a sweetened judgment. In any event, the Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to discuss over here the different symbolism behind solar and lunar eclipses, which means when the sun is covered, according to when there's an eclipse and it's dark, so this means something. Okay, now even though they can predict when eclipses are going to happen beforehand and it's already, in the Teva, but still, at that time there is a certain judgment in the world, and the Gemara is going to tell us what it means. At the time that the sun is being covered or stricken, siman ra lechol ha'olam kulo. That's a bad sign for the entire world. Mashal lema davar dome. What's it analogous to? Lemelech basar v'adam she'asa se'uda le'abadav. He's a king. He made a party for his servants. V'niyach panas lefnem. So he puts a light in front of him so he can see. In the party, it's dark. He puts a light. Ka'as aleihem. He got angry at his servants. What does he do? V'amal le'avdo. Tol panas mepinehim. Take the light from them. Voshivam b'choshech. Put them in the darkness. So too, when the sun is there, that's the siman of Lahamim. Borei Olam is letting us look at the world, the beautiful world that He created. Once already the sun is covered up, we were talking about it's covered up in the daytime. And therefore, it's Borei Olam is saying, I don't want them to enjoy the world that I gave them. And therefore, it's a sign of punishment. Kach kishachaman loka ena meira kol kach. That's Rashi. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol zman shemeorot lokin. Anytime that the me'orot alokin, that's already not only the sun, that's any of the stars and the luminaries, siman ra lesonehem shel Yisrael. Oh, this is a siman ra for the Jewish people, specifically. Sonehem shel Yisrael is the enemies of Israel, but it's a sagi nahor. It's the opposite, it's for us, bar minnan. Mipne shemelumadim b'makotehem. Because the Jewish people are accustomed to makot, which is which nation is more used to getting, attacked and hit. Am Yisrael, so Rashi says, "Kol mine puranut tevaim la'olam." Anytime there's a puranut, a tragedy that comes to the world, yesh lahem the Yisrael the dog. She says, whenever there's bad luck coming into the world, the first nation that has to be scared is Klal Yisrael. Velomar lo basiman ze ela bishvidenu yot b'sharumot v'shein nikidin l'kot yot v'kulam. She says, the odds are it's against Klal Yisrael because we always get it. So therefore, when there's a problem with the me'orot, so Amis has to worry because they're prone to these type of punishments. Mashal, what's this mashal to? Lesofer sheba lebet ha'sefer. The teacher. Teacher came to the school. And he walks in with the whip. Who gets scared? Which is the kid that always gets beaten up. He's scared because he knows that's it. The odds are he's going to get beaten up again. So therefore, he's the one that is scared. Right? As she says, Mido egg, Ezemim Yareshiragi, Tanu the banan. We have a bright up. Bizman Shahama Loke, when the sun is eclipsed, Siman Rali Umot Olam. Oh, so this opinion holds out. The sun is a bad sign for the nations. When the moon is eclipsed, that's a bad sign for Israel. Which means we have our calendar as a lunar calendar. And therefore we follow the months according to the moons. When the moon gets covered, that's a bad sign for us. However, when the sun, which is a solar calendar, which is go you follow, that's a siman for them. Loke b'mizrach, when the sun is eclipsed in the mizrach, meaning at sunrise, meaning when the sun rises in the east and it gets covered up, siman ra'al yoshvei mizrach. So the people in the east have to be concerned. B'ma'arav, that's right at the time that it's setting, when it's in the west if it gets eclipsed. Siman ra yoshvei ma'arav, be'ev sarakiya. But it's in the middle of the day, siman ra lechol ha'olam kulo. That's already a bad sign to the whole world. Now, panav domim ledam, if the sun's light, the ball of the sun, for a certain reason looks like it's reddened. So that's already like blood. That already, Bar Minan, war is going to come to the world with Harev, and there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. Okay? And then the Gemara says, Lesak. If it looks like a sack. Now, a sack in the old days was usually made out of the goat's feathers. The goat's hair is black. Which is, if the sun is blackened, then already, Ra'av Ba'im Le'olam. Then famine is going to come to the world. Chitzer Av. Meaning the arrows of hunger are going to come into the world. Why? Because when a person is suffering hunger, his face turns black because he's malnutrition. So the blackened sun is a siman that what? Ben menan ra'ab ba'le'olam. Lezu v'lezu, if it's red and then black, when it's got both colors, harev v'chitzer ha'ab ba'im le'olam. Then you got both. Laka b'chnisato, if let's say the sun is eclipsed when it's going down, b'chnisato at the time of sunset, Pur'anut shuha lavo. That's a sign that the tragedy is being delayed from coming. Right? And of course, if it would come in the morning, that shows it's coming right away. The fact that it didn't get eclipsed till the end of the day shows that God is being patient and the tragedy is being, held up, averted. Bisiato. But if the sun is eclipsed in the morning, bisiato, when it comes out, v'maheret lavo. That's already a sign, but the tragedy is very, very imminent. And someone is saying the exact opposite. What's the way they say the opposite? Look at Rashi. V'yesh omrim, chiluf devarim. Laka b'chnisato, arvit, when the sun is coming down, pur'an b'maheret lavo, shasima k'shem she'en lo shahut l'shemesh b'yom, shesamub l'shki'ato, kach en shahut l'par'an lavo. Which means, just like at the end of the day, there's no more chance for the sun to shine, which is right after 10 days, the sun is going to go down. That means there's no more time. The Purim is coming immediately. However, in Beshachrit, Purim Shohel, Lehama, Otshot Bayom, which is the sun's last time to shine during the day. And therefore, in the morning, if it gets eclipsed, it's a sign at this time. But at the end of that, it, the sun's going down. But it's over. So what's going to happen? I mean, so there's two ways of looking at this concept. Okay? Furthermore, the Gemara says, whenever the nations of the world get smitten by God, their gods also get smitten as well. What do you mean, their gods? She says, Eloheah, Sara Miritz Ba'adah, which is every nation has a sod, has an angel or a malach in the heavens that is in charge of that nation. So anytime a nation goes down on earth, their sod in the heavens is also taking it. So that she gives an example, Kegon, Sam Mechmem, Shusa Shir Isav. Which means just like the Sam Mechmem, that's an angel. Which angel is that? Sam Mechmem, the angel of Isav. So when Isav goes down over here, you should know that Sam Mechmem in the Shabbat is also getting taken down. And the Gemara brings a proof to this, Shneimar Uvchol Elohim Esraim Ayaseh Shefatim, which is at the time that the Egyptians went down, the Pasuk says, Uvchol Elohim Esraim Ayaseh Shefatim, that God says, I'm going to smite all the gods of the Egyptians as well. What's the gods? Meaning the Sarim and the Shamayim that also represent, but some of those are the spiritual forces that are behind the nation. So they also get damaged. One time they said it in Ashah, it says, Ki tetzele milhama al oyevecha. So the Mefashim say, it should say, Ki tetzele lahem al oyevecha. Before you get to the war, there's no war there. You're going out, there's no war there. The war doesn't get there till you get this. The explanation is no. Before the physical war on earth happens, already the war in Shamayim started already. And it's already decided. So they're going after the Tsar. So they're going to keep the Tsar. When you go out to war, you're already going into a war. It's in progress already. Because already the Tsar is affected immediately. But when the Jewish people are following the will of their Creator, of God, you don't have to worry about any of these things over here, which is all these bits and manim over here, that's only when B'nai Yisrael are not following the Tzorosh Shul Makom. Right. But if you're following the Tzorosh Shul Makom, there's nothing to worry about. Shnei Emar, Ko Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, El Derech HaGoyim Al Tilmadu. Do not learn from the ways of the Goyim, or Me'otot Hashem Al Tehatu. And if you're going to not follow the ways of the Goyim, then you don't have to be worried about the celestial body, you don't have to worry about going on the Shamayim, Ki Yahatu HaGoyim Mehem. Which means the Goyim will have to be scared of it, but not you. So the Gemara says, Goyim yahatu ve'en Yisrael yahatu. The Goyim will be scared, but not B'nei Yisrael. Rashi, El derech ha'goyim at lamedu, do not learn from the Goyim, la'asot kima'asehem. When you do God's will, you don't have to be scared of the body, the source of the body. So comes the Gemara, Ketar Rabbanan, Yishvil Arba'a Devarim Hama Loke. There's four reasons that cause the sun to become eclipsed. Al Av Bedin Shemet, Ve'enu Nispat Kehalacha. An Av Bedin, a great rabbi that dies, and they don't eulogize him according to Halacha properly. Now what's the explanation? That means, the Gemara says in a different place, that any time a Tamid Hakam passes away and he's not eulogized properly, it's befitting that all the people should be buried alive. Because they don't recognize. Now when a person is buried alive, what happens? He's under grave, doesn't see lightness. So therefore the eclipse happens, which is to signify that you don't deserve to see light. Everybody deserves to be buried underground. On a girl that was betrothed, she's engaged, she was being violated in the city, and she's screaming out, be helped, and nobody's helping her. Which means normally, when does a lady get, not I must get violated? At night, when nobody sees. Here, she's getting violated in the city in the day. And she's calling out, and nobody's helping her. So what do you see from here? This God says, you don't deserve the light. Which means here, it's like it happened at night. And therefore, the sun gets eclipsed. And also if somebody has it's going to cause the sun. What's the logic? The logic is because since that's not the derech, So the sun will not follow its derech.
The derech of the sun is what?
The light. Now the person changed the normal derech ha'olam, so too the sun will change from its normal derech of lightning.
Ba'al shnei achim shenishpach daman ke'ahad. On two brothers, Bar Menan, that died together. Because they were murdered together, two brothers were killed simultaneously, but that causes an eclipse. What's the logic over there? Because the moon and the sun and the moon were considered two brothers when they were created. They were both equal size. And then what happened? Because the moon complained, so the sun became bigger, and the sun remained what it was, and the moon became smaller. And then what happened? On an eclipse, what happens? It's like you're killing both of them. Which means now the sun and the moon are taken out, which means the moon doesn't have a light, right? Now you're taking away the light of the sun. So it's like you're killing two brothers at one time. So remember, when two brothers are killed simultaneously, that's a sign for an eclipse, because the two sun and the moon, which are brothers, are considered darkened simultaneously. Because of four different items, meorot, the stars and the different celestial bodies are lokin smitten, mean they're eclipsed and things happen to them. Al kotve, let's get the right word there, pelastar, with a tet. What is kotve pelastar? So that she says, look at that she, b'shvir dadarim, lo shamati tam bedavar. That she doesn't have a reason really why this should happen. Meorot yareya bekochavim, the moon and the stars. Kotve pelastar that she, shtarot mezuyafim. People are writing forged documents. Umichtave amal. Letters that have lies in them. Lishum dofi. Lasum dofi. The place dofi is lies and things like this. Al Adam. Lichtob bishmo mashelo siva. Which means they write in his name things that he never commanded. Which means they write in the stars, so and so commanded this to do this. Mm-hmm. So I never authorized this. So people that are writing fake shtarot, that causes the me'orot to be lokin. Furthermore, Val me'ide edu cheker. They did do check it, but not lying again. People are testifying falsely against each other. People that graze or raise animals like behemad daka, sheep, in Eretz Israel. What's the problem? Because they eat all the produce, they eat all the land. These animals are grazing. People's fields, they steal, they eat the other people's fields. If you're not supposed to raise these type of animals in Eretz Israel. So therefore it's also in Yarav Gezer. And those people that chop down fruit trees, that also causes this. What do you mean chop down fruit trees? Rashi, three lines on the bottom. Well, look at Rashi, four lines on the bottom. Megadle behemad daka. They destroy the land. Why?
You can't watch them.
You can't watch them from going into somebody else's fields. They eat, they steal. Even if the guy owns these trees, you're destroying. It looks like you're kicking. He's giving you all this beracha, the fruit, and what are you doing? You're chopping them down. So it's like you're bo'et in the beracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kevara continues. Ubishvil dale devarim nechse ba'ale batim nimsarim lemalchut. Because of four reasons, a person's money is given over to the government. Al masheh shtarot piruim. When a person leaves paid shtarot in his possession, which means the shtar was paid already. But what does the guy do? He got paid already. He keeps the shtar. Why? So he can get paid again. Which means he's a wise guy. The law is, after you get paid, you take the shtar, you rip it up. But he wants a later date, he'll go to Beit Din. Hey, he owes me. Hey, where's the shtar? Here it is. Hey, he was paid already. So because of this, Borei Olam says, you're playing around with the money, but the money will be taken away from you. Number two, Ba'al Malveh Birbit. Those people that charge interest. That she says on the bottom, they charge a Jewish person interest. So you charge interest, the money will go to the government. And as she quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, which means it says if a person charges money with interest, it's going to end up going to be collected to give to the poor people. So the Gemara B'Metzia says, like the king Shfor Malka. Mm-hmm. He would take Jewish money and support Anim Goyim. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you're going to give your money with interest, eventually your money is going to be taken to the government and they're going to use it for their own charities. Ve'al she'aya safek bi'adam o sipek bi'adam limchot ve'lo mihu. Let's say you have a generation where you have hashuvim, important people, and they have the ability to rebuke the people that are doing avonot, the people that are doing wrong. So when you have a generation that the rich people, the hashuv people, they don't rebuke the kahal and stop them from doing bad, but minan the money is taken to the government. Look at that. Shei v'ashayas sipik biyadam shel ba'alei batim halalu limchot biyad ovrei averot shebedoram. They could have rebuked against the sinners of the generation. Shei debrehem nishma'im mahmat oshram. Since they're rich, people listen to them. Ve'beriyot yireim mehem ve'lom yiru, and they don't rebuke, so they're ready to held accountable. Furthermore, ve'al sheposkim sedakah berabim ve'enam notnim. And those people, Ba'alei Batim, she says, that they donate money in public. They give money in public. I donate $1,000, $10,000. But what? They don't pay. So Baruch says, you made fake pledges in public and you don't pay your debt. So what happens? The money ends up going to the government. But Manan, he loses the money. Amar Rav. Rav said, בשביל ארבעה דברים נכסי בעלי בתים יוצאים לתמיון. There's for four reasons the money of בעלי בתים goes to תמיון. What's תמיון? שנתממין וחרים אליהם. Oblivion.
Wow.
That's it. The money is lost. Fire. Gone. They lose their money. What's the four things? על כובשי שכר שכיר. Which means they don't pay their workers on time. Right. That she says, "Kovesh shemadchayu belech bashuv." They tell the worker, "Come back, come back another time." Ve'al oshke sechar sachir. Oshke is worse. That's the gamri. They just say, "We're not paying you." Finish. They steal the guy's payment. Ve'al shepurkin ohol me'al savarehen ve'notnin al chavarehen. Which means they take the yoke off of the responsibility, off of their neck, and they go and they put the responsibility on somebody. I mean, they shirk their responsibilities and whatever it is, which means they have a certain obligations, and instead of doing it, they say, I'm not doing it, let the other guy do it. So they protect their responsibility. And furthermore, the people lose their money because of arrogance. And the Gemara concludes, V'gasu taruach keneged kulan. Gasut haruach is connected. That's the worst. That she says shemitgain misterin alachayim b'shvil oshlam. They overpower and domineer their friends, and they throw their weight around because of their money. And the Gemara concludes, "Aval ba'anavim, but people that adopt a humble practice and a modest lifestyle, ketiv it says ba'anavim yirishu aris. Says the humble men, they will inherit the land v'tanegu al rov shalom, and they will enjoy an abundance of peace. Hadran ala." Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.